there was a lot of talk about the phrase flattening the curve in the early days of the novel coronavirus. The idea was to try to reduce the spiking number of infections to give hospitals and vaccine developers a chance to catch up. In his new book, our next guest looks at another much bigger disease curve that has been flattening over a much longer period of time. The cycle of infectious diseases killing off huge parts of populations for millennia. He says we're in a much better place now, but we've got to be careful about where we go next. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How have you been reflecting on the coronavirus pandemic as it compares to other historic outbreaks of infectious diseases? Do you have thoughts on what we could do to be better prepared as a state, a country, a world for whatever the next infectious disease might look like? Do you have a question about the history? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Charles Kenny is senior fellow at the Center for Global Development in Washington, D.C. He's authored the book The Upside of Down, Why the Rise of the Rest is Good for the West. His latest book is called The Plague Cycle, The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease. Charles, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be back with you.
A lot of us have been thinking about global disease for the last year and a half. You started thinking about it a lot earlier because this book was a few years in the making before we even heard of COVID-19. What got you thinking about this broad scope, this broad sweep of our disease history?
I'm interested in global progress. I work in global development and used to work at the World Bank and now work in this think tank that thinks about how we can speed global progress. And if you look at sort of the most unarguable statement about the improving condition of humanity, I think it involves children. We have gone from a world where the average parent would expect to bury at least one of their children before the age of five, to that being a rarity worldwide. We've gone from sort of half of children dying young to about 1 in 25 worldwide over the last two centuries, pardon me. And you know, you look at that statistic, you look from us going from this tragic situation where you know it is expected to bury a child to that being an all too frequent but still far rarer tragedy today, and you ask why, and the answer is a decline in infectious disease. So I became very interested in why was it declining? You know, what was the story behind that? What was going on? And was there a risk of backtracking? The last sort of 18 months, 2 years sort of helps answer the second part of that question. I started in on the research before COVID-19 began, as you suggested.
Looking at the first part of that story, can you talk about, I mean, you share examples in your book of a lot of major historical plagues, the actual plague and other things we might call plagues. Talk about just what a huge factor in individual lives and even the grand sweep of human society disease was until really just, a couple hundred years ago?
Absolutely. It sort of drove the entire nature of the world economy, if you will. So basically, civilization is a disaster for human health, to put it bluntly, because what agriculture and civilization did was it took a bunch of humans who were hunter-gatherers and it stuck them much closer together at much higher density with a lot of animals who fostered diseases that could jump species, you know, much like we think probably COVID-19 jumped species from bats. Other diseases jump species from our domesticated animals. So, you know, pigs and chickens that get flu and so on. Cows get something akin to measles. So packing a whole load of people very close together in constant contact with their animals led to a firestorm of disease and you know, hugely increased young mortality and infant mortality. That alone had a big effect, not least on women who just in order to keep sort of populations constant, the average woman had to have sort of 6 or 7 children. Half of them got pregnancy-related illnesses. Many of them, you know, sadly died during pregnancy and childbirth. So, you know, hugely bad for humans in general. They saw worse health outcomes, in particular bad for women. And infection was such a burden that it basically stopped empire spreading, stopped cities getting bigger, because the bigger cities got, the more they became death traps, the more infection killed. And so there was sort of a limit to how large cities could get, and a limit to how large civilizations could get. Rome grew to be one of the largest empires in world history, but was felled not least by the first appearance of Yersinia pestis, the plague of the Black Death, which sort of wiped out large parts of the population of the Roman Empire, and in particular large parts of the Roman army, was one factor in the continuing decline of Rome. And 800, 900 years later, you see the cycle repeat with the Black Death wiping out a third to a half of the population of Europe. And it's only with our advances against infection, it's only with proper sanitation systems, public health laws and regulations, and in particular the sort of the medical revolution of vaccines and antibiotics and so on, that we've managed to push down this burden of disease in such a way that nowadays cities are healthier places to live than rural areas worldwide. On average, city dwellers live longer than rural populations. Nowadays, traveling to another country is not a death sentence like it used to be. It's what's allowed for global cities like New York or London, with their populations of 10, 15 million, a third of whom come from other countries. It's the only thing that allows those cities to survive and be the creative centers of the global economy today. And it's the only thing that's allowed for a revolution in women's rights as well. If you don't have to have 7 or 8 children per woman in order just to keep populations constant, if you can get that down to close to two as it is worldwide today, that frees up a lot of time that women were spending in pregnancy and childbirth, but also massively improves their health, massively improves their possibility to take equal part in society in general. So it has all sorts of effects on the global economy. It improves education outcomes, encourages people to get more educated. I could go on, but it really is a vital part of a story that takes us from a world where most people are living in extreme poverty, most children are dying in childhood, to a world where most people are living on incomes multiples of what they used to, and most people are living past the age of 70.
Talking to Charles Kenny about his new book, The Plague Cycle, The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease. You could join the conversation with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Charles, you worry in your book about some very particular risks we have of disease, but also more generally, I think, of a kind of complacency. A lot of us in the world now grow out without that daily risk of horrific infectious disease outbreaks, and maybe we're letting our guard down.
I think that really is a large risk. Even today, even after what we've gone through in the last 2 years, we see complacency around making sure the world as a whole works together to reduce the future risk of new pandemics, but also to sort of finish the job of wiping out infections that are still killing millions worldwide. Just to take some examples, if you look at tuberculosis, malaria, and HIV, last year their death toll was probably about the same as the official death toll from COVID-19. COVID-19 actually killed more people than the official death toll. But HIV, malaria, and TB have been killing that many year in, year out, killing more than that many year in, year out, for decades. And we've sort of let them fester because they kill poor people in poor countries. And so we sort of largely, I'm afraid, as a global society, don't particularly care. We use antibiotics at the moment, these magical, magical weapons against bacterial infection. 90% of antibiotics we have, we don't use to cure humans from infectious disease. We use them in order to make factory-farmed animals grow a bit fatter, a bit faster. The risk of developing antibiotic resistant diseases amongst those animals that can then jump species to humans is huge, but you know, because we like our cheap meat, we're willing to take that risk. So in all sorts of different ways, we're acting as if, you know, we don't care, we don't see the threat, and we're still doing it today. I mean, just to take an example, the Build Back Better bill that is still going through Congress, you know, partially as a pandemic response, it's been cut down from its original size. But one of the things that's been most cut in it, it's been cut by 2/3 of the pandemic response measures in it. You know, we're still in the middle of a pandemic that's killing thousands of Americans a week, and yet already we're sort of cutting back. We're reducing our ambition when it comes around to pandemic preparedness. So I agree. I think there is this sort of this problem of success we face, that in a world where, you know, half the population was dying from infectious disease, it was really hard to ignore. Now we're in a world where, thanks to medical progress and thanks to public health, that doesn't happen anymore. We do seem to be sort of reasonably blasé about the deaths that remain and the threat of many more deaths in the future.
We're talking to Charles Kenny about his new book, The Plague Cycle, The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. We're going to look at some of what our guest says are lessons for the future from COVID-19 and past diseases. Do you have thoughts? Do you want to see more effort put into public health here in the United States or into curing diseases around the world, even if they don't affect the U.S. Directly? Do you think there are things we could have done better with COVID-19 that maybe with the next pandemic, whatever it might look like, we could do better next time around? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up our talk with Charles Kenny from the Center for Global Development. We're looking at his new book. It's called The Plague Cycle, The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease, looking at lessons from all of human history, plus the latest with COVID-19, lessons that can help us avoid going back to the bad old days when infectious disease was a very real threat to daily human life and even civilizations. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is there a lesson you hope, say, American policymakers can learn from COVID-19 and the response there? Do you have a question for our guest about disease and history? And on a personal note, how about, I know our guest is curious, how about those COVID booster shots? Are you going to get one if you've already been vaccinated? Do you worry about the choice, you getting a booster or somebody getting their first shot in a poorer country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Charles, I understand that is something that's on your mind. Some in the U.S. getting their third shots, a lot of countries around the world waiting for their first shots for people.
Yeah, I should admit, I got my third shot. I'm in a slightly higher risk group, thanks to a heart condition. And so I was, you know, in the list that CDC said, maybe you want to get a third shot. And I did. But as I got my third shot, as I sat there feeling incredibly grateful for medical progress and for these vaccines, you know, I couldn't help but think about the vast majority of people, even in high-risk groups in low-income countries worldwide, that haven't had their first shot yet. We are managing this vaccine rollout in a better way than we've ever done in history before, by which I mean it looks like the whole world will get to, you know, 50-60% vaccinated way faster than we managed with smallpox or with measles or with diphtheria or pertussis or tetanus. Sort of name your previous vaccine rollout effort. We're gonna get from 0 to 60-ish faster than ever before. In that way, it's a great global triumph. On the other hand, it is terrible how badly we've done compared to how well we could have done. Rich countries, including the United States, are sitting on so many vaccines that they're expiring before we can use them. Meanwhile, in poor countries, terribly, you know, high-risk communities, you know, the very old and so on, are sitting there without a vaccine, access to a vaccine at all. It's just sort of, it's morally wrong, it's repugnant. And so, you know, I did the selfish thing. I protected myself a bit more. I wish the system was better set up so, you know, next time we vaccinate more people more faster and much more equitably, you know, in particular, vaccinating those who need the vaccine most first.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Catherine is with us in Menominee Falls. Catherine, hi.
Hi. I guess you're speaking to a pretty biased person here, but I have sincere concerns for people who have had difficulty with COVID, but we lost four family members to cancer in the last 5 years, including my beloved husband. And I cannot believe that there's no cure for cancer when we've had we have never had a sitting president in this country with cancer.
Catherine, thank you so much. I'm so sorry for your loss and your family there. Cancer is a different kind of disease, Charles. It's not as, I guess, some kinds of cancer can relate to certain kinds of infection. I'm thinking HPV here, but it operates differently than the infectious diseases you're talking about.
It does. And I join you in being terribly sorry for the listeners' loss. Cancer is now, you know, one of the greatest killers in the United States, one of the greatest killers worldwide. Because infectious disease deaths have gone down so much, sadly, people still die in the end, and more are dying from cancer and heart disease. I too have experienced some recent losses from both, and I don't mean to, you know, downplay the horror, and I think we do need to make more rapid progress against those diseases, and I think that too should be very much a public health priority. And as we make further advances against infection, you know, even more of a public health priority than it is today. As you say, some cancers can be prevented by vaccines, and HPV is one example where we've seen, you know, really dramatic recent evidence of the efficacy of vaccines in saving lives against some cancers. And I hope maybe one of the silver linings that comes out of the COVID-19 period and the research into these new types of vaccines like the mRNA vaccines is that we see more cancers that can be treated by vaccines. We see more vaccines developed against them. That'll only be, you know, one part of the story of the fight against cancer. But I hope it's a part of a story that's been given a boost by the last 2 years.
Catherine, thanks for that call. We're talking to Charles Kenny about his new book called The Plague Cycle, The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease. Charles, I want to get another prescription for the future that you're looking for. You mentioned reining in the use of antibiotics, especially among animals, as one cure, investing in public health or not stopping our investments in public health. You're also hoping to see more and more effective international communication on diseases. What would that look like?
At the moment, the World Health Organization, our sort of, you know, international body that's meant to look after global health, its core budget is about the same as one large US hospital. It's a really underfunded part of the global architecture. And I know it doesn't do everything perfectly right, far from it. And I think it really made some mistakes in its early calls on things like masking, suggesting that maybe masking wasn't a priority during the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, you can argue forever about what it said about where the virus came from, but it still plays a vital role in coordination. Even during COVID-19, it played a really important role in coordinating trials of various treatments against COVID-19. Those trials can run faster if they take place where there's a lot of COVID-19 infection going on. And so being able to move trials around the world to sort of where the pandemic is at that stage is a really powerful way to increase the accuracy and speed of our trials of potential cures and vaccines and so on. So there's just a really big role for better international coordination on this in this area. And in particular, there's a big role for the immediate response. The best way to deal with a pandemic is immediately emerges before it spreads around the world. What we really want is every country having the capacity, the domestic capacity or domestic capacity supported by the international community, to respond to pandemic outbreaks, you know, at source really rapidly, close it down there before it spreads across borders, before it goes worldwide. You know, if we'd managed that with COVID-19, you know, think of the lives saved, think of the trillions of dollars saved as well. So, you know, next time, I hope we get together as a global, before next time, I hope we get together as a global community and coordinate far more on thinking, how do we get instantaneous response to outbreak threats and really get the support to where they're happening in real time so that we can shut them down before they spread.
Just 30 seconds or so, Charles, you've immersed yourself in studying these scary diseases for 5+ years now. Did you come out of this feeling more optimistic or pessimistic about our disease future?
Optimistic. I have worries. You know, we could muck it up. We could allow new pandemics to spread. We could allow old infections to come back. But we've seen in the last 2 years, we've seen in the last 2 centuries, what we can achieve as humanity against these infections. And I think we're going to continue making that sort of progress. I certainly hope we do.
Charles, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on, Rob.
That's Charles Kenny, senior fellow at the Center for Global Development in Washington, D.C. We talked to him about his latest book. It's called The Plague Cycle: The Unending War Between Humanity and Infectious Disease.